I feel jeopardized by this apathy, certainly, if this is where the problem is.
I have no further questions.
Sergeant Cochran, I have just one question myself, and then perhaps other members of the commission have questions. But before I ask my question, I want to remind you of your opportunity to make a statement if you wish, either
I'd
now
like
or
to make it at the end. Take me about 2 minutes.
Fine. We'll be very glad to hear it. When you noticed the changes in Attica since before September 9 and the present time, you did not mention the Inmates Grievance Council, which was recently instituted.
Right.
Do you think that will make any difference to the inmates, to the officers, to the situation in general?
There is a possibility that it can help the situation, primarily because it was set up in a democratic manner. In other words, the inmates elected these individuals. They were not picked out by the administration. This attached a certain validity to it as far as the inmates were concerned. How do the officers feel about it? How do I feel about it? I would like to take a wait-and-see attitude on this. This is going to take time. There was an opportunity to help the situation. I am not convinced that it is the answer, but I'm willing to wait and see.
Thank you.
That's how I feel.
Mr. Wilbanks, do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a couple. Some inmates have told us that there are other inmates that make it hard on the rest of them by their actions, you know, cause trouble and so forth. Right. Are there other officers whom you feel that are, in a sense, you know, any percentage who are bad actors, who don't treat inmates as human beings? Are there such people?
Generally speaking, I'm sure that we could say this about any situation.
Yes.
There has got to be a small percentage that there is room for improvement. Yes, I could say this.
What I'm really leading up to is, you know,
I reiterate, it is a small percentage.
You're being a supervisor. If you know of someone who is an individual that this has been reported to you, that he's having difficulty with inmates, what steps are taken on your part, on the supervisor's part? Do you reprimand him? Do you speak with him? Do you counsel him? Is he, you know, what happens?
You said it. Once it becomes apparent to a supervisor that he has a particular officer that is having difficulty, any kind of difficulty with the inmates, it is your responsibility to try to effect a change in this man's manner of operation and his attitude. I have had these situations. I have attempted to correct the change. I feel that I have been successful on all occasions that I was involved with. And what I'm talking about, you take the man aside, you find out just what the situation is and find out what the reasons for these particular actions are, and you counsel him. Yes, that's what you do.
And a second brief question. There are a lot of recommendations by different groups for intervention of outsiders, citizen observers, ombudsmen, monitors, this kind of thing. I want to know how you feel about it. And then secondly, is your attitude typical or is it exceptional?
I don't know if my attitude's typical or not. Do we need people inside? Not as many as we have today. I mean, there's people all over the place today. Specifically, I don't think we got anything to hide. I don't think there's anything wrong with opening these institutions as long as you have proper controls, this type of thing. But the more people that you have in these facilities roaming around, it does create certain problems because we are responsible for the welfare of these individuals.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Carter?
Well, I think my questioning is going to be rather extensive because I want to be sure I understand some of the things that you've said. Were you born and educated in the Attica area?
Pardon?
Were you born and educated in the area in Attica?
I was born in Buffalo. I was educated at Attica High School. This is where I received my high school diploma.
Attica High School?
Right.
Is that in Attica?
That's in Attica. That's correct. I have taken college courses at Genesee Community College, St. Lawrence. I've taken certain courses when I was in the service. I've taken many of the standard at-home courses in many different fields. This is the extent of my education, other than considering experience.
Yeah. How old were you when you became a correctional officer?
22, just turned 22.
Have you ever had an occasion, Sergeant, to deal with blacks as equals?
Of course I've had occasion to deal with blacks.
As equals?
As equals?
Yes.
I have always considered everybody my equal.
Well, let me put it in a different way,
because
I don't want to confuse the question. You've dealt with blacks as you were a supervising officer and their inmates. But I mean, dealing with blacks on the same level as you are. Have you had any experience with that?
I get your question now. When I was in high school, and in Attic itself, it's a known fact, there are very few blacks. I had one that went to school with me. When I was in the service, I served with, worked with, and lived with blacks for the 3 years that I was in the service. Now, this is the experience prior to coming to Attica Correctional Facility that I had with blacks.
And since that time, your experience has been as a correction officer?
Yes, it has. That is correct.
Now, you said that in answer to a question from Mr. Lyman that there was no racial discrimination at Attica. You said there was none.
Did I say that?
I thought you did.
No, that isn't what I said.
Then correct me, please.
I feel that there's probably the same level in the institution as there is in society in general.
Okay, fine.
And I don't know what that
is. I misunderstood the answer. I will accept that answer as being absolutely correct.
Thank you.
You also indicated to us that you one of your duties, as you felt, was to be concerned about the safety. The safety, you can't hear me, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You're talking rather low, but I...
That you was concerned about the... I can't watch you. About the safety of the inmates.
Certainly.
And that your concern was, you mentioned specifically, is safety from other inmates.
This was one of the areas, right.
For me, it was a significant omission, but the safety from other officers. You regard that as being a part of your responsibility as well.
This is my responsibility, and I did make a statement earlier that I felt on no occasions in my 14 years in the department had I felt that an officer could be put in this category. This is the statement I made.
Have you ever heard any officers in your 14 years there refer to black inmates as niggers and coons?
I can't recall that term being used, and it is a very unfortunate term if it is used. There's no place for it in a correctional facility.
You've never heard any officer use it?
I never can recall an officer saying that to an inmate on any occasion. He'd be foolish if he did.
What did you mean by the statement that normal behavior, the statement that when you got concerned about, I think it was in terms of dealing with inmates, that you were concerned about normal behavior. What is normal behavior?
We all know that normal behavior, normal anything, can't be defined. Now, when I say abnormal behavior, when a particular inmate is doing things which normally you don't see other people do. Now, this is an individual who must be observed closely. If it is felt that he is a threat to his own well-being or somebody else's, it is my responsibility and every officer's responsibility to make sure that he is attended to.
Can we be a little more specific about that? Because I really would like to understand this. Do you mean by that when an inmate is violating some rules consistently?
No, this isn't what I was concerned with. I was concerned about things that you would consider abnormal behavior, things like an individual talking to himself, things like an individual banging on the side of the cell, things like an individual walking around like he was dizzy or some other thing. This is what I'm talking about.
Is it your experience that there is an attitudinal difference between white and black inmates?
Is it my experience that there is a difference in
attitude
between the two?
Yeah.
No. The line is not drawn between black and white. The line is drawn between the particular philosophies of the individual. At least I feel their philosophies. There are some inmates, both black and white, who believe in tearing down the system, causing problems. I do not draw the line between black and white.
I see. And you said, you might understand that kind of attitude is now present in both white and black inmates.
Yes, that is exactly what I mean.
Is that what you mean when you talk about militants?
I didn't talk about militants, I don't think.
Well, you said
but this is the term that
is
used today. The particular type of individuals who seem to feel that violence is the way to change things, who they feel should be changed. This is generally what I'm speaking about, yes.
Well, there are a number of blacks, as you probably know in your experience, Sergeant, who are more aggressive in terms of their dealing with whites, who feel that they are tired of what they regard as prejudice and discrimination.
Yes, I've heard
And not, no violence being involved, merely an attitudinal change themselves. Where they're going. Do you regard those people as being militants?
No.
Are there such people at Attica?
Are there blacks at Attica that feel that change should be made and they do not feel that the violent way is the proper way? Right. Is this what you mean?
Yes.
Certainly there are.
But those people you would not classify them when you talk about militants, or rather when you use the term militants, you're not including those people in that category.
I am including anybody who believes this or anybody who contributes in any way to this particular feeling. Some individuals will not be physically violent, but they will influence other individuals to be physically violent.
Well, I'm not sure I understand that. Let me see if I can understand it. That those persons who, without regard to whether how they feel, that they're aggressive, if they feel that they that there ought to be some changes, if those people contribute to the violent attitudes of others, you would classify them as being militants.
I would classify them as being in a category where they could be considered dangerous to the welfare of the entire facility, and I'm talking about inmates and employees.
I see. You did say, I believe, that there was a greater deal of confrontation with the younger Puerto Rican blacks.
No, I said with the younger inmates.
The younger inmates.
Right.
The younger inmates are more likely to, seek a confrontation.
That is correct.
With our officers.
Right. This is my feeling.
Is this generally true of all inmates, white or black, or is it white, black, or Puerto Rican?
Yeah. I would say that I personally have had situations that I was involved with where my authority was challenged, a confrontation was forced by blacks, Puerto Ricans, and whites of the younger group of inmates.
So that it's just a general change in attitude of the young that you've come across.
I feel that this particular group, regardless of national origin, is our problem.
I think I have only two more questions, and one is, I want to be sure I understand what you mean by brutality. Is that physical? When you brutality is just speaking of in terms of the correctional officers being charged with. Is it physical brutality that we're talking about?
I know what I mean by brutality, but can I ask you, what do you mean by brutality?
I'm trying to find out what you meant by it, because I was attempting to understand
brutality.
Were you talking about
to
physical
me,
brutality?
Brutality to me is when an individual exerts more force of any kind on an individual that is more than is required to get the intended results.
So that could include both physical and non-physical?
To me it could. I mean, an individual could be harassed needlessly, which I would consider, I don't call it brutality. This is a misnomer. This is a term that is a scare word that I think is the wrong word to use. But this happens to be the term that they're using today, so this is one we have to deal with.
Okay.
This is the way I feel about it.
Just one final question. You use the word that you get to know inmates. You think you get to know inmates.
I feel that on occasion I have gotten to know several inmates quite well, yes.
Do you mean that you know them as people, as persons, as individuals?
Of course.
Is that a very frequent correction officer?
I would say that this situation arises much more frequently than the general public feels. Believe me, like I said earlier, when an inmate has a problem, more frequent than not, he will bring this problem to a correction officer first.
I see. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Mrs. Wadsworth?
Yes, I have three brief and each unrelated to the other questions.
Okay.
The first, we do have the issue of food, seems to always come up in discussions. You mentioned that supper was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Am I right, 4, and then lock up by 5:30?
At supper, we start directing the men to the mess hall for supper in the area of 4 o'clock. That's correct.
That's what I thought you said. Is the reason for this timing one of scheduling of the correctional officers?
I think it's a scheduling.
Or is there any punitive thought here? Because that does make for a long evening.
Right, it does make for a long evening. There is no punitive thought here. The shift that normally is most concerned with supervising the men when they do go to the mess hall is our 9:20 to 5:20 shift. Now, if we start taking these men to the mess hall at 4 o'clock, by the time the entire population has been fed, returned to their cells, and counted, it's 5 o'clock or shortly thereafter, and it's almost time for that shift to go home. There's nothing punitive considered here. Now, if it is done later, it's going to involve possibly more employees, more funds to pay these employees, this type of thing.
So it's a scheduling
problem. It is scheduling,
really.
Absolutely.
Secondly, you mentioned that you thought one of the important roles of the CO is encouragement for the inmate, of helping him with his problems. Mr. Carter has touched on this to a great degree, but I wonder how long is a particular correction officer assigned to a particular block? How possible is it for this kind of relationship to build up? I would assume that with the difficulties in this situation, it would take some time to develop a warm and human relationship.
You are correct.
Are the COs on a block for a long enough time to make this possible?
We have a large turnover as far as assignments are concerned. It certainly is conductive to this type of feeling if we can keep an officer on the same company with the same group of inmates for an extended period of time. I would like to see more of this myself.
What do you think is an extended period of time? This is my question.
Well, this is the man's assignment, and I'm talking about 6 months, a year, 2 years. In the past, there were situations where the same officer would have the same company and most of the same inmates for years. The only change would be if the inmate left the particular company.
Right.
And he got to know these men quite well.
Yes. And, Sergeant, I believe you said that the COs carry only the nightstick and no arms.
No arms within the institution.
Then I would assume that there is no kind of training of any sort for the correctional officers in the area of use of arms and that kind of thing. This would not be a related issue or subject for
now when you say
instruction.
Training in the use of arms, are you talking about firearms?
Firearms.
There's a great deal of training in the use of firearms. We have.
Although they don't carry them.
They don't carry them within the... Let me explain this so we understand.
Yes, I would
this
like
is
to
rather
understand.
Important. There are no firearms within the institution itself. The firearms would be on the outside perimeter, the walls, where they do not come in contact with inmates. The only other area where firearms would be used would be inmates transported for court appearances, this type of thing. All officers at the present time are afforded comprehensive training in the use of firearms. You can't put a man behind a firearm without training.
Exactly.
We never did, and we never will.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bishop Broderick.
Sergeant, I was interested in your pay scale. How does it square off with, say, the New York State Police, the local police, New York City Police?
I would say that prior to April 1, the New York City Department of Correction's pay scale was $2,500 to over $4,000 more than the state correction officers were making. The state police, I would say, are possibly $2,000 to $3,000 over our pay scale when you consider a starting correction officer in relation to a starting state trooper.
I see. Your next promotion would be to lieutenant, is that it?
This is in the direct line of promotion.
But it would mean, wouldn't it, if there were no vacancy at Attica, you're going someplace else and
it certainly would,
uprooting yourself?
It certainly would.
And therefore, you wouldn't be really...
Well,
I'm euphoric about it, to use it.
You'd have, this is a decision to make. There are correction officers who have completed all the qualifications to be a sergeant, had an opportunity for the promotion, and did not take it for the simple reason that they may have to go to the other end of the state, uproot their family. It might take them 3-4 years to recover the expenses that were incurred in taking a promotion at the other end of the state. And I would like to say that there, in my opinion, there are quite a few correction officers in the facility I work in who would make outstanding supervisors, but the promotional system holds them down. This is my personal feelings on that one.
The superintendent is appointed. He's not civil service, is he?
No. At the present time, right up through superintendent, they take an exam.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I'm not sure on this, we could check this out. I think superintendent is mostly an oral exam. Possibly there's a...
Does this lead to any discontent in the ranks that your boss would be not up from the ranks?
It may. Right now, most of our top correction personnel have come up through the ranks. I personally hope it stays that way.
Then the question of, we've been hearing many times that there's no such thing as a rule. You say there is a book, and when I was up at Comstock, I got a rule book. I think it was dated 1968. I don't have it with me. It's either 68 or 7.
There are rules.
Now, is this the manual you follow?
This is a little blue rule
right,
book that
right.
Inmates were issued up until the time they came into the institution.
You see, what we've been hearing is that the execution or the fabrication and the implementation of the rule depends on the whim, the ups, the downs, the digestion of the COs. You know, you line up by size or by color, by race, or you don't, depending on the permissiveness, say. And then when you get accustomed to a guard and his way of life or his lifestyle, he leaves and then someone else comes and you have to put in a tab if you're not following the rule. I see a certain amount of humanity and common sense in its execution. I think you brought that out.
Right.
But if all don't agree on that, it's a pretty tough way to run a ball team. And maybe this is one of the difficulties that I see.
I'll try to answer that question.
Well, it's not really a question. I think it's an observation. I'm just saying that maybe there should be more uniformity.
I would like to answer it, if I may.
Sure. Oh, sure.
There certainly is areas here which could be improved. You've noticed it. All officers notice it. I notice it. There are efforts in this direction from the highest department level where they are, from what I understand, in the process of instituting uniform rules and regulations. But I would also say that the complaint, as far as some of these men are concerned, is exaggerated to a point. It isn't as prevalent as some individuals may lead us to believe. But it does happen to a lesser degree than we're led to believe.
Thank you. My last question is, I guess, in the nature of a philosophical question. You spoke about, before the uprising, groups getting together. We've been hearing the term used, Marxist-inspired revolution, from some of the correctional officers. Right. Is there any basis for that, do you think?
I think there is, to the extent that some of the rhetoric that was overheard being spilled out by these individuals would point in this direction to this degree. And also, there was written material discovered being carried by inmates and in inmates' cells that certainly could be classified in this area. Yes.
Yes, you feel that...
If you interpret it from these two signs which all officers observed.
But if the revolution's uprising depended almost on a mechanical failure, could you blame the Marxist-inspired revolution for the uprising?
A man adopts...
This is not a fair question, maybe.
Right.
I don't mean that
I
you should answer
tell,
it
I can't say why these people felt the way they did. I can't say somebody outside told these people to do this. We can only say what we saw, and each individual possibly will interpret this different. How qualified we are to interpret this is a matter of opinion.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Mrs. Guerrero?
Sergeant Matoski. What is the name?
Cochran.
I believe that, I don't know much about the police and so forth, but I believe that a police officer is supposed to maintain order, especially if it is violated, if somebody gets out of control, and if so, the policeman apprehends the offender in order to protect the rest of us and the general welfare, right? That's what a policeman does on the outside.
That's right.
But when they come to you, they are sent over to a correction facility, do you believe that the institutions are doing the best to rehabilitate the inmates through education and training to be able to function like every responsible citizen when they return? And because different from a policeman outside, your duty in the correction of it is entirely to the people there. In other words, we are paying you, and we are paying a great deal of money to maintain these people there so that they are rehabilitated. And those are a hard core and cannot be rehabilitated. Somebody must find that out so that the others may, especially if they are young, may have a chance to be good citizens. Or, I mean, law-abiding citizens. Being good has nothing to do with it. What do you think?
This is ultimately what I think all responsible people want the correctional facilities to do. Mm-hmm. Are we doing it? Believe me, we're attempting. I've already tried to make the point that, in my opinion, I can't speak about anybody else but myself, that rehabilitation has to come from within. First, a man has to want to be rehabilitated. We, as much as possible, should provide the tools, the means, the opportunity. And when I say we, I'm not just talking about the Department of Correction. I'm talking about the general public. This is where it's got to come, from the public through the legislature and right on down the line. Yes, the general public is paying us to do a job, and we're trying to do it.
In other words, my idea is, or what I think after listening to a lot of inmates and some of you officers, my idea is that you are really responsible to these people. You are not really a policeman. You're supposed to see that they behave, but to help them.
We are much more than a policeman.
Much more than that, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and so forth, and nothing has been done about that, so that we really, all of us, have failed desperately to make the people who have committed crimes or have done something against the general welfare of the society, we have failed them miserably, all of us, have we not?
As a general statement, I would say that there is room for improvement. And if society in general is responsible for this, then we are all society.
Right,
yes, I would say this. We've got to make improvement. I can't sit here and tell you what I think are the best ways to do this, but I would also say that it has to come on the part of the inmate himself.
Well,
you can't make a man be rehabilitated. You can't force him to be a better man.
Well, that's true, but don't you feel that also that I think that the correctional officers have to be trained differently or better, I would say.
I would agree that it is very important that all correction personnel are subject to more intensive training. Absolutely, I agree with you on that one.
Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Mr. Rothschild?
I have several questions, Sergeant Cochran. Let me say that I think many of us share this, and I think it's self-evident, but a lot of the questions we ask are because we have a system which the correction officers have said, the prisons have said, almost everybody has said that the system itself has been part of the problems on both sides. And if you've had the courage to be here as a correction officer, and we're asking you those questions as a correction officer, and certainly not personally. Excuse me. This is mine over here. You talked about the seniority system for a minute early in your testimony.
Yes, Mr. Lyman discussed that.
Right. I'm curious about some aspects of it. When we first talked at Attica, one of the things, and this came mostly within my hearing from correction officers, in the question of, it had to do with prejudice, it had to do with discrimination, it had to do with brutality, it had to do with lots of things, and the expression was, if any officer did that, they'd put him on the wall. No warden would have a fellow like that. He would put him on the wall. We heard that from a number of people describing the... On the seniority system that you described, I guess you don't put fellows on the wall if they don't fit well with the population anymore. That and maybe my assumption's wrong. That used to be the thing you did with a fellow that wasn't working well with the population, I gather. Is my assumption right?
Years ago, when I first came in the department, this was a method for controlling an individual that was having difficulties. It was considered a type of punishment to put a man on the wall. It is no longer this way because wall posts are considered premium assignments.
They are?
Yes.
If we have a total seniority bidding system within the CO organizations today, what basic carrots are there within that system for you as individuals to take the kind of courses you've talked about taking, to try and do the things that you do look to improve your own ability to do the job which you have in your business as in all of the rest of our businesses? If in fact it is a strictly seniority bid system, what benefit is there to one of you who does work to get to know inmates, who does feel a sociological impact of what you're doing, et cetera?
This is a good one. In other words, here you've got two individuals. One man gets a great deal of seniority and he gets the job he wants. Another individual is going to college, trying to apply himself, trying to do a job, but he can never get that job he wants until he gets enough time in. So he didn't need this in the first place. Possibly this is the way it was, and it probably was, until recently. How recently, I'm not sure, but changes are in effect in this particular area. They are trying to develop a so-called career ladder. Now, this is rather recent, and I don't have all the facts at my disposal, but generally speaking, it's going to afford officers, number one, an opportunity to get more training, and number two, when they get that training, to be put in a position where they come in closer contact with the inmate, utilize this new training, and also be put in a position where they are justly compensated for this additional ability. There are steps in this direction, yes.
I think they're very encouraging. We talked a bit, and a lot of us have been after you on this, I think, on rehabilitation on this subject. In your definition of a CO's responsibilities, which you made earlier, there was relatively little mention of the preparation for return to society. And on questioning from Mr. Lyman, you went on to say that basically that you counseled those that came to you with problems, a CO did, not you personally.
Individual type of thing.
Individual.
Yes.
And secondly, you looked to counsel and help those whose behavior was not normal. And then, in response to Bob Carter's question, you described what not normal meant. So now, that leaves a lot of people out.
Okay.
Taking the not normal definition of the fellow who talks to himself, et cetera, and the inmate who does in fact come and say, I've got a problem and I need help, This leaves a great deal of the population, I would think, out. And I have a very specific question. We all agree with rehabilitation and people should come back to society better prepared and all that. I've got one missing link. Who, in fact, is responsible for rehabilitation of inmates in the Attica facility?
Generally speaking, this is all I can say on this one, everybody is responsible, concerned, whatever term you want to use, for rehabilitation. And when I say concerned, responsible, to utilize whatever tools are available in the facility. In other words, make the inmate aware of these, encourage him, if possible, to avail himself of these opportunities. Now, you say we left it out. It wasn't intentional. There are Dale Carnegie courses. There were, I'm not sure if it's been recently because of the turmoil, there were classes that a man would go to prior to his release. The educational efforts in the facility, I think, were excellent. They've been criticized in some areas, but I feel that they were more adequate than has been said. Of course, there was still room for improvement. Vocational training, in degree, it wasn't too high. But the ones that were giving the availability to these vocational programs, they were quite good. Our DVR program had what I consider an excellent rehabilitation vocational program with an outstanding instructor and all the equipment that go with it, but it was on a very small level. If I would like to see this type of thing on a much, much bigger level. In other words, you give these men training in an area where they can prepare themselves and actually go out, get a job that they've been trained, and make a decent living. Yes, I think should be improvement there.
I think you've articulated the hopes that we all have, but I still I'm still not quite happy. We heard yesterday from Mr. Matthews about the fact that he tried to get high school equivalency at Attica and that he, in fact, never was assigned to the school and therefore he never did get it.